Hello there. I am the Projectionist, and welcome to my sinister Tales of Terror. Hello there. What are you doing showing up so late? It takes a brave soul to drive out here to the vault at this time of night. Ah, I can read that look on your face. You too have a tough time finding sleep, eh? A guilty conscience, perhaps. I miss sleep myself. So, I try to while away the hours, listening to my trusty Victrola. What was that I was listening to? It was the Kentucky Jazz Babies. The name of the song is Old Folks Shake, recorded in 1929, if I recall correctly. Of course, I also spend time researching and collecting new stories for my tome of sinister tales. In fact, if you would care to join me for a spell, I will read to you a new submission from Josh Martin of my old stomping grounds in Haddonfield. Just let me lower the lights to help set the mood. There you go. Now then, since you've been so kind as to see to the door already, here it is. My, the ink from my quill has barely had time to dry. I call this one Thump Thump. Tina Hunt was always welcomed to the Lance residence, not just because Philip and Regina Lance were the best of friends with Tina's parents. No, it was also because Tina happened to be a remarkable babysitter. A truly caring and honest soul was Tina, the Lance children, Toby and Denise. 10-year-old twins adored their time when Tina was asked to babysit them. No temper tantrums, nor disobedience was Tina subjected to when watching the two. That may have had something to do with the fact she never talked down to the children. Most of her nights at the Lance residence followed a set schedule. Her parents would drop her off and pick up Philip and Regina to attend some various function or dinner. Tina would then prepare dinner for the two children, eating in the dining room, talking about school when it was in session, and adventures the two had earlier in the day when in the summer or on breaks. After clearing the table, they played board games for hours. Tina had jokingly called it their board meetings, and it had stuck. Then she would help them with their homework if needed and put them to bed, spending the last hour or so of her evening quietly watching TV downstairs until her parents and the Lances returned. That night, Tina found herself oddly interested in the soap opera on the television. She didn't know the name of it yet. She knew it wasn't the Dallas one, but hadn't seen a commercial break to give her the answer. Then, a breaking news report came on. The announcer, very calmly, but with a remarkable tone of seriousness, informed the viewers that the Haddonfield police had let them know there had been an escape from the Ashcliff Hospital for the criminally insane. It had apparently been a brutally violent escape, with three orderlies dead and a doctor in intensive care. Tina felt her mouth go dry when the announcer added that they believed the madman was close by. The announcer revealed that someone had called the authorities on Compton Drive for a failed break-in attempt. The police had said the only real damage had been some missing tools from the tool shed at the back of the house. The announcer then urged all viewers to be sure that their windows and doors were securely locked, and to stay inside and call the constables if they saw anything suspicious. The news report ended, and the soap opera resumed, but Tina had lost all interest in the show. Calmly, she moved about the house, checking the latches on the windows and the bolts on the door downstairs before she made her way upstairs. First, checking on Toby and Denise, and quiet as a church mouse, she made sure the windows were locked. Feeling a little better, Tina went back downstairs. Denise and Toby were woken by a strange noise. The two children looked to each other. There it was again. The Winnie the Pooh clock on the bedside table read 1 in the morning. Both children couldn't explain why, but they found themselves scared. Toby called out for Tina, but only silence answered him. Then he called for his parents. Once more, nothing but silence. Denise found herself incredibly frightened by this and ran over to climb into her brother's bed. For long minutes, they heard nothing. Then, Toby and Denise grabbed each other tight at the oddness of that noise in their home. Then it came again. And again. Then, as mysteriously as it began, it stopped. Denise and Toby stayed still and very, very quiet for an hour. Then two. Finally, sleep managed to drag them both under, only to be awoken a bit later to the sounds of their mother screaming. The two children ducked their heads under the covers, until the father burst into the room. The two children had never seen such a look of fright on their father's face. It caused them both to start weeping as he rushed into the room and grabbed them tightly, as a new series of screams and cries began to reach their ears. Why, it sounded like it was Mr. and Mrs. Hunt. Toby and Denise's father refused to let them out of their room, even when the young boy had need to use the bathroom. Then the children heard police officers arrive, and Mr. Lance closed their bedroom door tightly. Trembling, the two children crept over to listen at their door as the officer and their father talked. Screaming, as they learned, was due to the scene that their mother and the Hunts witnessed just a few feet outside their door. Tina lay dead on the stairs. She had been attacked when she returned downstairs. She hadn't thought of checking the cellar door outside of the Lance house, the one that led up to the kitchen. The constable explained the escaped madman had managed to steal an axe from the tool shed of the house he attempted to break into and attacked the young woman, managing to cut off Tina's arms at the elbows. The thump, thump drag sound the two had heard was their babysitter trying to drag herself up the stairs to reach them. Well, now, what did you think of Thump Thump, eh? I want to thank Josh Martin once again for submitting that rather gruesome tale. I have yet to hear from Victor on if iTunes deemed my broadcasts worthy enough to be carried on the radio network. I suppose we shall find out soon enough. Perhaps it is too frightening for them. Remember, if you would like to hear your own scary story read on the air, you can send them to me on my Facebook page, Projectionist Haunted Drive-In. So listeners, I expect to see you here next week for more of my sinister tales of terror. This has been RetroWest production. Sleep well and goodbye.